is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
Good night, Bahamas. Good night, Bahamas, and welcome to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. We had a little technical difficulty, and it's a pleasure to be a host on this wonderful Friday evening. Our telephone numbers tonight on Guardian Radio 96.9 are 323-62-325-4316, 325-4259, and you can text us, powered by BTC, at 422-GR96. I'm your host, Valentino Brown, a.k.a. Scoochie or Scrooge, or many other nicknames that many people call me around the country. So I just want to say a wonderful, again, good night to everyone. And I hope you have a wonderful show tonight. I want to wish my fellow former talk show host, Nahaja Black, a wonderful, wonderful, warm welcome to a new career. And it's wonderful to see people elevating. You know, as a country, we have to be very encouraged to see when our brother or sister does well and elevate themselves to have a better living and a better way of life. You know, that's all our dream. And you never know what she can do taking that next journey, a next step, we should call it. All right? So tonight I have some very wonderful guests in studios. They were here a few months ago. We have the owners of Joey's restaurant and bar situated on Fish Fry. We normally call him Brock Shot, but I call him Scrubber. And then we have here Drifters. Next business owner in studios, and I'm going to let them introduce themselves in a few minutes. But before I do that, I want to say a community announcement. Last week, sometime, we had a community event through Woods Alley, Rally in the Alley, Big Harvest Community Center, under the tutelage of former Assistant Commissioner of Police, Mr. Ferguson, did his rally in Ali last week, which turned out to be a wonderful event for the residents of the community. So I just want to send a shout out to Pastor Ferguson on a job well done. Also, the next community announcement, I see the government of the Bahamas now is doing surveys through the inner city community. But also I said a few weeks ago about the road conditions in the country. And I normally talk about the inner city, but right out east and out west, there are some potholes need to be fixed. So I'm encouraging the minister responsible for roads to do diligence. I see that during the survey, Mr. General Manager Dwight Scron. Good night, sir. I see that they're marking out the cracks and holes in the road and potholes in the road. So I see they're making headway. So it's good to see that we are making headway with the roads, because the roads are really, really, really bad in the country. Don't you agree?
Definitely.
Yeah, so I'm glad that the government and the minister responsible is making that an initiative, because many people have boiled their tires, you know, and all kind of other stuff happened to their car. And I always said that if we're paying a lot of tax, you know, anything that happens on the road, I think that the government should be held responsible. Potholes and tires getting boiled, et cetera, once it's not the pedestrian or the person who's driving the car's fault. You know, I think, like in the States and those European countries, you know, they pay their taxes, and if their tire boys on the road of negligence of the government, it also falls back for the person who in charge of the vehicle to file their complaint, and they get a sniping for their tire that they have damaged on the government road, because that's what you pay a lot of tax for. But the government is making great strides. I can see they're doing the markers all about the cracks. And the potholes on the streets in Nassau, New Providence. And like I said, even out east and out west. And I was surprised. Yes. I got cars from Drifters. owner of Drifters in studio tonight, and we're going to have a wonderful conversation here tonight. So let them introduce themselves individually.
Good night, everybody. My name is Dario Williams, also known as Scrubber. I'm the proprietor of Joey's Arawaki.
And yes, good night. You know, Valentino, Scrooge, good to have us back here today. Ricardo Cardo Williams from Drifters Arawaki, and you know, it's definitely a pleasure to be back on there with you, my brother.
Yes, you guys made a lot of sense from our last interview, and I want to thank you for the time out that you guys take from your busy schedule, because I know that right now it's kind of picking up in business, so we must compliment the government for actually giving us a little bit of our freedom back again for us to really, really start to gain some momentum, us to start saving again, start to build up some money again, and start to be free again, you know. So I want to encourage those business owners to keep up the good work. The struggle was long, but it seems to come to an end now. So just make yourself the best customer service clientele so that you could have customers keep on coming to visit you because of your great customer skills. So I just want to say that. Okay, the last time we were in studios, you know, they call him Dario, but I'm going to call him Scrubber. We were talking, and you said something very interesting on Facebook. We're going to start off with this before we get to the part about the safety conditions and y'all concern as business owners and how y'all can help the authorities make the fish fry environment a little safer if they take some advice from business owners who have dedicated their time. They also entertain the BMN people, but it's to give the best service. But before we get there, I listened to something that you said on Facebook, and you said a question like, why people will always judge you by your past, right? That's the question you put on Facebook.
Not the person to begin.
Right. So what do you mean by that?
Mr. Brown, I'm speaking about the past. None of us actually have a perfect past. Not even those who judge us have a perfect past. They were never caught. Some are caught, like us. Some are never caught. I actually be paying our debt to society. You know what I mean? I was caught. I paid my debt to society. I think I deserve to have a second chance at life as a business person, a business owner, and not be judged by what I have done as a child. I'm a man now, and I deal with things on a man perspective. When I was a teenager running around East Street back in the day, I did a lot of crazy things. I didn't even see. Right now, I look back and can't see how I escaped some of the things that I've done. You understand? Thank God to be here today speaking on your show. I think that sins and crimes of your youth, you know what I mean, growing up, especially in the areas that we have grown, I think, you know what I mean, so you could be exonerated from some things as you become a man. You understand? Right now, it's holding me back from certain traveling. I have a business for the last few years. Getting me a licensed shotgun is a problem right now. Can't protect myself or my staff. It's a lot of things that's holding me back from things that I've done as a teenager, which was 20, 25, 30 years ago, basically, almost.
Wow. Yeah, and I can understand what you're saying. What you're saying is very true. The thing is, you said it. You explained it great. You said that a lot of us have made mistakes when you're teenagers. There's no one perfect, but yet still, we hold that against an ex-citizen. We can't, like, we are so perfect. We have not duck school, we have not smoked a joint, we have not peep in the girls' bathroom, we have not stealed our mom's purse, we have not stayed out late, sneak out the house, we just perfect. So, persons like yourself who actually change their life around, persons like myself, for instance, and yourself, and whoever the person, Cardo and all, you know, when we were 18, we were 19, you know, we were led astray because the circumstances in the country and the community was a drug infested community. So we all made mistakes. Thousands and thousands of people made mistakes. Thousands of people in the court system, thousands of the judges have made mistakes. They were not perfect. They went to preschool, they went to junior high school, they went to senior high school. You trying to tell me their whole life was perfect? You know? And what you're saying is true. And that should not hold you back because you're a businessman. You're contributing national insurance for your workers. You're contributing national insurance for yourself. What you've done in the past should not be held against you because you are proven to be a law-abiding citizen, you know. And what we need to do in this country is we need to really, really give people second chances because no one's perfect, you know? No one can judge you, no one can judge me, you know, and quite frankly, for me, I'm in the same position. Many people look down on me. Some people say they listen to radio, they don't like to listen to me, but there's thousands of people listening to me. But the whole point of the matter, I was fighting for a country. I'm talking about my experiences so that we could see how to correct the problem. Because what we went through as young kids, teenagers, is what started the problem now in our country. And something started before we were coming around. You know, that's the drugs correct. Came in, the rum came in. Family life get destroyed. Right. So there are thousands of people made mistakes in that era. Some of the judges and lawyers who now in court were on crack cocaine. I used to see them in the community buying this stuff. Teachers, doctors, you know, and et cetera. We could go on and on and on and on and on and on if we want to. But they are forgiven.
And even back in the day, Scoochie. I referred over yes. Scoochie. We used to fight back in school in our days. Who's better friends than us right now?
You see?
So it has changed. Yes. In the environment and in the community. And I want people to look at it. And what I was told is that people only see what they want to see.
Yes.
So they saw you as a young kid being troublesome growing up, and they will take that with them for the rest of their life. Don't care what you do.
Yes.
You could be a pastor, or a scrubber. You could be businessman, or a scrubber. And whatever it is, they judge you, and they only want to see what they saw 25 years ago.
I agree. That's wrong. And go ahead.
Yeah, and if I could jump in, gentlemen, obviously, I always say there's two things at work. First of all, I like to say, and I mean the good book say, when, you know, we were children, we acted as children, we thought as like children. But when we became men, we put away those childish things. And, you know, I think people judge, and they tend to hold on to people's past because it makes them feel a little bit better about themselves.
Yes.
You understand? Well, hey, he used to gang bang, but you know, I only used to steal ice cream sandwich out of the shop. so he worse than me.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And that's how we tend to kind of build ourselves up. And then the next thing is that people are prejudices, you know. Because he grew up on East Street and maybe I grew up in Seabreeze, you know, he different than me.
Mm-hmm.
So he don't have the same sense as me, he don't have the same class as me. You know, and so therefore we tend to kind of box people into that same persona for the rest of their life.
Wow.
I go on the sock, he going to know later.
Exactly. And see, you know, the sad part about it is, and it is why we've deteriorated, because if these same people were to look back one or two I wouldn't even say generations. Go back maybe even 20 years.
Yes.
All of us come from East Street at one point.
Yes.
All of us come from the inner city.
Yes, of course.
You know,
and
not because I moved. We branch off.
A better life
for us. And so therefore, you know, at the end of the day, why shouldn't persons who come from the inner city today be afforded the same opportunities? And then we turn around and wonder why people don't change. Because sometimes they look at it and say, what sense it make for me to change when you still can come at me that way?
Wow,
you know, and that's just the reality of it.
I want to give a shout out to Kimbo Quinn, Comfort Street, Spartan Bar, through Lewis and Hay Street. She's watching now. I want to say special thanks to you and these two gentlemen here, our business like-minded, just like Kimbo Quinn and Tiger in the Comfort Street Bar. Yeah, and for me, I don't like to talk about my past. So when people see me bringing my past, that's something I'm ashamed of, you know.
Don't be ashamed of it, bro.
But I talk about it. It's because it's happening over and over. It's just the same. Like when we were younger, it's the same thing. And so, you know, so it amazes me to see that we have to keep on talking about these things over and over and over. So when I have to keep on reminding the public, reminding those who knew us at that particular time, I'm only saying it to give education on find solution on how we're going to carry this country forward. You know, and like Scrubber said, you know, we have this thing where we are better than the one who see we going before the court. Like Scrubber said, some people get catch in the system, some people don't get catch in the system. And we could all account to that, but that don't mean we're not guilty. That don't mean we're not also innocent.
Correct.
You understand? Just that we ain't get caught up and got time in prison. Because if you look at the streets right now, there are a lot of murderers on the streets right now, but have never been before the court, never been charged for a case. Right? But they have committed the most heinous set of crimes.
Right.
But there's no evidence. You understand?
Right.
Okay. And so, Scrubber, you were talking about, you know, I think that side, the hover business, and you want to secure your environment based on some safety precautions, because you have to, you're dealing with cash flow. This generation now is like, if they see you prospering, they want to take that from you. They don't want to go out there and work. They want to watch your business. They want to see your movements. And if you don't watch out, they would be on your doorstep ready to rob and kill you the first chance they get. They don't worry about who you is or what you is. Far as they can say, they only see the Queen Elizabeth and Benjamin Franklin. Yeah. So you're looking to protect yourself by trying to get a licensed shotgun. There's nothing wrong with you as a businessman getting a licensed shotgun. I don't know what the procedure is, but they need to look into this matter because you pay your national insurance, you're a law-abiding citizen. And I also want to talk about this. You also, as businessmen, you also came on the show to talk about safety precaution to your all business venture, which is situated on the fish fry. You talked about the fact that there are many young teenagers, unsupervised, coming out the fish fry under the age of 18 to 21, coming out there disrupting the peace and causing it bad for not only the guests, not only the Bahamian resident, but also for all the business establishment out there. Let's talk a little bit about that when you're talking about teenagers. How can teenagers be allowed to be out to fish fries? Fish fry in first place.
One of my concerns when it comes to the teens on Arawaki is that I don't think any kid at 17 or under should be unsupervised. You have parents that drop their 14, 15, 13-year-olds off, come back in an hour, 2 hours' time. Like they drop them off to kindergarten. You understand? I think every kid under the age of 17 should be supervised. And even above 17, I think groups are something that should be exonerated from Arawaki. If a group of 10 guys walking up and down Arawaki, the police could see something wrong with that.
Okay, hold it right there. You saying this based on experience, and you're saying it now because you're saying the same thing what we did, and you know what we up to no good in that 10 park. We're toting guns, we're toting knife, and we know the etc. in that park, because the park protects us.
Exactly.
Go ahead, sir.
Yeah, so I think when you see groups walking around Arawaki, the police should have the rights to step in. We need a partnership with the police, especially in Arawaki as business owners. Hey guys, are you guys dining somewhere? Someplace particularly you're going in Arawaki?
Not to harass them, but
not to harass. You know what I mean? And tell them, listen to me, if you're going in Drifters, you're going in Joey's, whatever business establishment, you're going in, please, make your way there. And if you see them just hanging around, especially on the opposite side where the parking lot is at, guys, them come out in the car, park with this 40 ounce on the back trunks and bears on the trunk. So what are they coming to do?
No, hold on. You're trying to say guys bring their beverages out there. No, that's a no. It's like if I'm running a bar, how could you come to my bar drinking a ball of Hennessy in my bar? No, that can't work. No. When Fish Fry was created, I was one of the first to go to Fish Fry. I can remember when they paved out there, they made Fish Fry out there. That was made to help persons who have businesses out there.
Right.
Okay? You can't have people who have 40 youngs coming out there drinking. That means they're broke. Listen, either they come to steal something, they're the ones who told the guns, because you're saying they're pulling there in the parking lot and they're sitting on their cars. That means they are broke. They're up to something. So, if you're a police officer, if you're seeing guys drink Hennessy, they're supposed to be drinking into the bar. It's not, Fish Fry is not a hangout spot for that particular, that kind of movement. Fish Fry is for the tourists and the Bahamians to mingle to the stalls so that the business owners could be able to make some revenue that night so they could pay their staff, which is 5, 6, 7, 8 people, so that these people could go home and feed their children. But if you look at it, you know, this is some great recommendation. See, this is why the show is so important and having people who have this experience from the past, see that gang mentality. Now he's a teacher. He could tell you what's going on with those 10 young men right now.
Correct.
You know?
And one other thing Scoochie must say too, when it comes to Arawaki, people underestimate and undermine Arawaki as businesses. We, especially me, Cardo, there's a lot of buildings, so there are restaurants. People love to call us stalls. Oh, you see a stall. You still get the stall. You still get the stall. Okay. We have businesses. We have restaurants, and it's not stalls.
Okay.
And people will walk in our establishment and look at a large cup of Hennessy for $12. And I'm seeing people cry and complain. And they live right from there, go to Bahama or Atlantis and pay $24 for a smaller cup and don't open their mouth to say nothing. You understand? And these are some of the challenges that we face within our Awaki. We have grouper dinners, snapper dinners, reasonable price, $20. You paying $45 and $50 and you wouldn't say anything. When you go to different outlets to buy these items. So why you come at Awaki and choose to make or pick at every little thing that you know you wouldn't do it in another establishment?
Because you're a black man, that's all it is. That's all it is. That's just nature. Yeah. But when you go to Pope Deck, you ain't saying nothing. Or when you go to Atlantis, which is they great restaurants. So, Cato, let's hear from your side.
I piggyback off of what Dario said and what you're saying, and I know you all recognize, and I recognize, obviously Arawaki is a public space. And I mean, when you look at it from a legal standpoint, we can't run nobody off the key. We can't. But we have to look at what the intention of Arawaki is. We are a family-friendly environment. That's what we want to be. That's what we aspire to be.
Mm-hmm.
Family-friendly. And when, as Dario mentioned, you have 13 and 14 and 15-year-olds. And we ain't saying they coming out there to do nothing bad,
Yes.
We're not saying that. But what we're asking is that, hey, parents, come along. You know what I'm saying? Guess what? Build relationships with the restaurant owners. Come and meet us. We want to meet you all. Let's get to know your family. So that when we do see your child out there, there may be times you can bring them out and say, hey, come on in. We'll invite you in. But when we see these groups of young persons unattended, they can be up to mischief. I mean, that's human nature. That's what we know. That's what we can be. Unsupervised. We still thinking with a youthful mind, we're going to be up to mischief. And what ends up happening is that your same 13, 14, and 15-year-old out there, like you say, you just may have dropped them off to have a nice time. They may be, and they may come across these fellas who into mischief.
Yes.
Who into foolishness. And so we just trying to get parents and guardians to understand, hey, come out with the kids. We have a safe environment. I will tell you that a lot of times the rap that we get is unfair and is not true. We have some of the best food on this island. We have some of the best service on this island. And people who really love and have a passion for food and beverage and creating an experience for our customers. And so therefore, like I said, we just ask you to come out. Let's build a relationship. Let's get Arawaki to that family-friendly environment, because Arawaki doesn't only belong to us, the business owners, but it belongs to the Bahamians. And I would say this, Valentino, Scrooge. I would say this, Dario, Scrubber. The greatest expression of food and beverage with regards to the Bahamian culture is Arawaki fish fry. Right. If you look across our island, this country, there is no other sport that is
authentic
and more culturally driven as much as Arawaki. We should cherish that and value that. And to go back to something Dario said with regards to the viewpoint of customers, I've experienced the same thing he's experienced, where you would have persons come in and complain about prices. My anise is the same anise you get in at Atlantis or Bahama. And not to disparage those places, because they're lovely places and a lot of money went into them.
Mm-hmm.
But a lot of heart and love and money went into what we have to offer as well, too.
Yes.
And so if we can't value our own, Arawaki belongs to the Bahamian people. Bahama and Atlantis don't belong to us.
Mm-hmm.
But if we can't truly value our own and
treat us with respect, like a restaurant, not a store.
What does it say? We serve in beautiful glassware. We serve in
beautiful restaurant.
Restaurants. These restaurants.
So they were stores at first, but they're restaurants. You guys talking about the restaurants now, but bathroom, electricity, music, DJ set,
it's an evolution.
Tables.
We've evolved.
Yes, we've
evolved, and then it goes back to what our original issue was.
Yes.
That people don't allow you to evolve. They don't respect your evolution.
Yes.
Right.
Our biggest problem. I got a comment here from Kimbo Queen. She's saying, poisons would try and lowball the small businessman, but would go to a more upscale establishment and pay for overpriced food and drinks, plus tip.
Yep.
But you guys, I noticed something. When I shop with you guys, I never shopped at you yet. I did shop by you once, but I didn't know you as
yet. Oh, okay.
Yes. But going by Scrubber, I have enough food to eat, half of it, and still get home. So I have enough to last till that night or in the morning, right. You know? So,
you treat it fairly.
Yeah, you treat
sometimes
it fairly.
Sometimes you're more than fairly, eh?
Yeah, more than fairly.
The money is worth.
More than fairly. Yeah. So you guys are suggesting there should be a joint venture between the police, the owners, to come up with a strategic plan, like you guys already came up with a strategic plan. You're talking about, y'all showed a weakness. You know, Dario Scrubber pointed the fact that guys would be sitting over there on the car, and he is not saying this for the police to go and intimidate these guys. He is saying it for safety precaution, because see, Fish Fries is supposed to be a business establishment. When you have guys who come in just to chill and call other friends, then that's a problem, because in those cars are guys who don't come to party. They come to look for poisons to either steal, eat up, cause confusion, which Fish Fry is designed for relaxation. See, Fish Fry, to me, was designed for this. I work all week, all right? I get my little $300-$400. I take $150, all right? I say, you know what? I am going to Fish Fry because I know I could get a fish dinner for $22. I could get a bear for $5, right?
Correct.
So if I'm smart enough, I could get 3 bear, right? I could get a fish dinner, a conch, tingum, under $50. You understand? So I can live like a king because I'm getting 5-star service. I'm going to sit down there. I'm going to get my bed delivered to me, you know, and I'm not walking for none of the stuff. This stuff is coming to me. So you all also added catering and waitress service at the highest. And also, you know, you're also talking about security. So I want the general public to understand these guys have a lot of solutions for their problems sort of Fish Fry. Let's talk about the garbage collection, because I saw it on Facebook a few times. What can you do to improve that situation out by Fish Fry? What do you think?
One of my suggestions to improve the situation on Arawaki Fish Fry is that they need to put a machine in the back there. Instead of just putting the dump and everybody dumping it, put a waste disposal machine where it is crushed. And, you know, you don't have to see that physical garbage laying all about. You understand? A lot of people make assumptions about Arawaki because when they go on the backside, they see the dump.
Yes.
If there's a machine, a dump press machine, with a door that you open up, you throw your garbage in, and it's pressed, and every so often, 3 days, 5 days, whatever, it's dump and clean, where the garbage is not visible. It'll be one of the things to, you know, better solve the garbage situation.
And Arawaki. For health reasons, etc. And that is a great idea. You know, these things are innovative ways and great solution, because what are you saying? If you put a garbage that, you know, it comes with like a block. That
right.
means when I could put
right.
my garbage in it, it gets swished together. It comes under the block, and I could put more garbage in instead of build up where the garbage bin, the bin builds up, because, you know, it get overflow because right. of different business owners and different people who have stalls and stuff, you know, and it takes 3 days for the garbage truck to come and remove the garbage in a timely fashion. So this is the greater solution to the problem, you know, and these are the things we have to look at.
Right.
What's your take on the
car? Yeah, also to add to that, you know, we always try to encourage our group to take personal responsibility for the area as
okay.
well, too. You know, obviously, this is our home away from home.
Mm-hmm.
And so just like you would take care of your yard at home
mm-hmm.
or your environment at home, you know, we ask that our partners, our other colleagues out there, do the same. I think it was pre-pandemic. Dario and I, we had engaged some of our staff members, and we had an entire cleanup campaign in the back area. Beautiful, man. The issue came in where it was it sustainable? And it became difficult because you can't have the same set of people doing it over and over again. We committed to it, mind you. And we're willing to definitely lend a hand, and we try our best to maintain certain areas. But we also need individuals to, and if any of our Arawaki partners, colleagues out there listening to this, we ask that let us take personal responsibility for our areas. Now, with regards to the garbage area, like Dario said, we need A proper structure.
A proper structure.
You know, right now is open to the world. Even at home, or if you go in some of, like, by me, you know, you can't see my garbage.
No.
You go by Dari, you don't see his garbage because it's properly enclosed.
Oh, right.
You go to other areas, and we ask that the, see, we presently do not have full control of the land.
Okay.
That is maintained by the government of the Bahamas.
That's it.
And we're not, and by no means are we persons who sit back and relax and say, oh, government can do it, or we're waiting for government to do
it.
But we need to ensure that government understands that let's partner, man. Get our suggestions, get our recommendations as well as to what we, because we have experience, both of us come up in, and we've seen things we come up in the top hotels. And we've traveled, and we've seen areas where you don't even know the garbage there. You could go to Atlantis and not to continue to harp on there, and you'll walk past the garbage, and you'll even notice the
crusher,
garbage.
Because they get a crusher.
They get a crusher, and they have it properly enclosed. Yes,
they have a crusher.
They have it properly enclosed. We've suggested that, hey, let us get proper drainage where you could actually have someone rinse down around and clean up around the garbage that goes into the proper drains. And so now you have
stop
a clean
pollution, and
garbage.
Pollution.
Exactly.
And this reduces the fly and et cetera.
Exactly.
Yes, unplugged because it's a public place. So, and it's a great recommendation.
Right.
You know, it can't get no better than this. Just a quick update. I want to give a shout out to Minister Glennis Hannah Martin, Deputy Commissioner Clayton Fernando, and many others. With the Education Task Force, which is doing a great, great job of going into the communities and looking for the kids that have been in the school for the past 19 months. And told 3,000 kids of not being using the virtual learning by the Ministry of Education. Okay, so they've been able to get 3,000 kids by the walkabouts in the inner city community and on the family island. And those kids now are back on virtual learning. I mean, and face-to-face. And I'm glad that she did open school back because, listen, it was terrible for our kids. Our kids got a lot of catching up to do.
Yeah, they were moving backwards.
These kids were outside. Some kids were outside 12 o'clock, 11 o'clock.
Yeah.
I wouldn't take a chance being outside 12 o'clock. Not me.
Exactly.
But the kids all around now I saw was outside 12 o'clock. They had nothing to do. So I can imagine right now they're quite excited. Those teachers get their hands full. And I want to just say thanks to Clayton Fernando. He was also walking, the deputy commissioner was walking around in the communities along with the police. And this is a great initiative. This is something they did to us when we first went to D.W. Davis, where we had the truant officers. We had the social service and et cetera walking around and walking in the community too to make sure that we're not missing school. So you see, you know, we had a group on the show a few weeks ago, Journey, and we talked about the fact about how the kids were not using the virtual learning and that we need to get back to face-to-face learning and et cetera. And you see what we said a few weeks ago is actually happening now, but I like the fact that the cooperation with the police, you know, the high branch, you know, when you see the deputy commissioner of police, Clayton Fernando, walking around in the community, that tells you the seriousness and understanding that he understand the need to get these kids their best education. I want to give a thumbs up. Also here, one more comment. Another 4,000 plus students, listen, are unaccounted for as we speak, you know. And the director of education, Marcellus Taylor, said this. So if we're looking at that, they just got 3,000 back in, and he's saying there are 4,000 more unaccounted for, okay?
Wow. That's too high, man.
And it's too high.
That's too high.
You understand? And guess what? It's more than that also.
Right,
that's just a statistics standpoint.
Right.
Because you might in the last 19
real
months.
Number.
You know, when you guys say, you know, the government needs to work with you and get your input, the previous government did none of that. They closed down your business. They maintained like living hell for all babies in the country. Man, look here. It felt like I was in Alcatraz. I couldn't go nowhere.
Right.
You know, I know it's the pandemic and et cetera, but listen. It feel like everything got took away.
I'd like to give my shout-out to the new government.
New government?
The new administration.
You didn't say it before the last show.
I'd like
show.
To give my shout-out to
new
the
day.
New administration.
New day?
Prime Minister Brave Davis, and you know, Chester Cooper, the deputy. And also, whilst we're knocking on education with Glenn Asana, There's a lot of young MPs that's really standing out. Mr. Jomo Campbell.
You think
every
so?
Time
you
I'm on social job? Media, he's in schools giving away tablets.
Yeah, yeah, and I did see.
You understand? We have another young gentleman, Mr. Ronnie Duncombe in Killarney.
Uh-huh.
He's a senator under the PLP. He's doing a lot of great work down there in Killarney still as we go. Jamal Strawn, Nassau Village, he's doing great work. I could go on and on. Mr. Keith Bell, Michael. You understand, there's a lot of young politicians doing some great exceptional work with our kids.
Yeah, I think they said are humble, and I think they seems to be headed in the right direction. I must say that, you know, because I feel like he is not, I ain't gonna lie, at least I'm free. I ain't gonna lie. I was locked down for 19 miles. Everyone was so miserable. Listen, I'm so glad I'm free. I'm free. I can free go on the beach. I can go on the beach. I can still. I'm free. Yes, it's feels good to be free. Good to be free. Daddy Blacks, what you say, Shaz? I see ya. Respect, Shaz. I hear you in the States making up all the money. You know how we got with this black crowd syndrome. You need to do something for me. If you don't do something for me, you know what time it is. Don't be joking. Yeah, Shaz. Oh, yeah, Shaz. Yeah, man. We free now, you know. Man, listen. That was crazy. And I tell people, you know, my freedom is more important than any pandemic. I can tell you this now. I ain't letting no one take away my freedom talking about no pandemic, right? I know just like how I was doing my research and I know you had the flu and just the way how we were dealing with the flu, when a sick person would come in your house, who have the flu, your family members, what do we do? Put your hand on the remote and everyone clear out the room. So if we could have lived through that, this is the same thing. It might be a little more wild. But listen, come on, man. That was crazy. I believe it was bigger than that. And listen, that sent a lot of people crazy. So many people walking around Nassau crazy.
A lot of people.
I
want to add this piece in. I have a sister that took the place of a mother. Uh-huh. Right? If it wasn't for her, I might have been one of those guys who drive past walking around crazy as well. So I have to big up Sharice Johnson, Reese. Listen to me, she's done a tremendous job picking up from where my mom left off.
Wow.
You understand? So hats off though.
Yeah, man. Oh. Definitely, man.
All right.
Definitely.
You guys are just doing a wonderful job, and I must tell you guys, you know, y'all are here. Y'all see the problems by fish fry. So let me ask y'all a question. I instantly went down, and he talked about this, the fact of 10 young men, you know where they're headed, because we were just like that. 10? We used to be in hundreds and thousands talking about 10. But 10 now, because they're never, ever going to be something like what we went through, where we had thousands of young men. You understand? When I used to go to fish fry, Fish Fry used to be black out. All the young men used to be falling behind me and Chucky and Nelson Cooper on the Fish Fry. Yeah. The guys, little Scrubber, you know, his Scrubber was the smallest one in the crew and the Raiders crew. And he, and two, he's small, he biggity, and he motored. Man, he had a long line, must he bull through it, right? So it was always a loud crowd. We used to move in hundreds, and, you know, the least we move with sometimes, that's just when we going on Bay Street, would be about 50 or 30. You know, that's when we feel like we going out. Yeah, but other than that, when we say going to Junkanoo, Gombe, Bay Street, the back.
Hundreds. I remember one time, 1992, I can remember this, Quinn Centennial Junkanoo.
Oh, yeah.
Uh-huh.
We came out of Strong's Corner. The front of the rebellions was on East Street Hill, and the back, the tail was still walking on the Strong's Corner.
Wow.
A dominant road full, heading up the Bay Street.
My Lord.
There's so much guys we used to be with. And you don't believe this, today, a lot of those guys died. But a lot of that children are around, roaming the streets right now, who are the troublemakers today.
Yeah.
Some are on the police force, some on the defense, all of this, some officers who I still know on the Royal Bahamas Police Force, who used to lead in the gang, or on the defense force.
Right.
You see, that's how serious it is. Some become lawyers. I tell you, some doctors.
Diverse.
Yeah, they just change after
diverse.
A while. Because he talked about Dario Scrubber, talked about it, the fact that people change, and many of them change and become productive citizens because at the 13, 14, 15, listen, you're a rookie. You're going to make plenty mistakes. Okay? Until you grow older it and you learn what right and wrong is, what really right and wrong is.
Yeah.
Yes. So you're talking the fact, there's an incident went down, concerning an incident where a police officer's son, he got stopped, over the fish fry, and this is what you're talking about, putting in precautionary measures. And he got stabbed, but he didn't die from the stab wound. He was taken to the police station with fish fry, and there he subscribed to his injuries because he bled out.
Right.
And better communication needs to be done with the police officers out there. They need more training, and we also need ways on how we could de-escalate situation. And you guys already came up with great ideas on how to de-escalate situation before you even started. You know, he's recommending, you know, the officer walk around Scrub was saying, if the officer is out there to fish fry, okay? And there are 10 to 15 young men walking together with no woman, no guidance. The officer should just politely not harass them. Say to the city, young man, y'all come here a minute. This is the public place. I think that you guys together are looking to cause some type of a commotion. So I'm asking you guys to please split up. If you're going to Drifters, you go to Drifters. If you're going to wherever you got to go, you need to go there. But I don't want to see you guys together, you know, assemble together.
Right.
Because it's not good for us out here. Because you know, see, these are precautionary measures we have to take. Because these are the measures what had to come to effect because
of us. Let me ask you all a question. Because I remember back in our day, because all of us run kind of the same time frame. Right after, I think, our time when we came out of school, Bay Street had a similar problem.
Yes.
Right.
Where there used to be a lot of young people out on Bay
that's
Street.
That's us now.
Also, Mara
right.
and Mara.
That's right. Well, what were some of the things that they did to counteract that, where Bay Street now, what did they do?
What do you guys recommend?
They dispersed the crowds.
They dispersed the crowds.
Yeah. Anytime officers saw a crowd of guys walking, they immediately respond.
And so therefore, if we are willing to do this for Bay Street, which is predominantly tourist base, why we ain't doing this?
That's what stopped us going
to Arawaki is tourist base as well.
Yes. Yeah, but no, I'm saying predominantly. Mm-hmm. But it goes back to, like, I tell you how we value ourselves and we value what we own and what is ours.
Yes.
See, but Bay Street is important. Bay Street is well, you know, man, look here, Bay Street is the gem. But Arawaki is a gem too.
Yes.
So we asking if the same measures could have been placed and emphasis could have been placed on Bay Street to solve that issue. We could implement some of the same things to solve the issues on Arawaki.
Now,
we want the partnership, like we say, with the police and the business owners.
And the government.
But it still come back to something else.
Yeah,
the parents have to be involved.
Yes.
And why they have to be involved is, the very moment you send Shaquan or Ashan home, and he go tell his parents, man, the police, mommy, the police run me off of Arawaki. The same parent can want to come back and ask the police, why are you running my child off Arawaki? Mm-hmm. Now, see, a lot of times, just like with us, our parents didn't know the things we was up to.
No.
To this day, right?
No, they
don't know. They so therefore, what I am at home, and some still while at home, ain't necessarily what I am when I go and supervise in a different place. Wow. Like you say, look at our students. When the teacher's supervising them face to face, is a whole different experience than when these kids are virtual.
Yes.
And even to some extent, not that, because some of the children are showing up. You think if I teach in someone virtually, I get a split screen with 24 children on it. You think I'm missing 3 children? I'm missing them. Because I too, it kind of even overwhelms the teachers. So it goes back to, there has to be parent/guardian involvement. We got to step up, man.
Yeah, and I'm glad you said that. As they were doing the survey, Clayton Fernandez, Glenn Azana, Martin Lewis, in charge of the task force, as this moving through the family island, the inner city community, and Nassau at large, the Bahamas at large, statistics came up. You know what the statistics said? That when they went to these houses to look for these kids who were not on the virtual reality learning, they noticed that their mom or their dad was out to work and the kids was unattended. Now, we said this a few weeks ago on the show, along with the Journey organization that were here. 3 weeks ago, and we said these same things. Now I come to find out when they put together the team, the task force, with the police, with the social service and community leaders, and they walked through the community, they found out that the kids were home alone. The parents were either working, and this is what you're saying now.
Yeah, man, and you know, gentlemen, I can tell you all something that I believe our country was built on, and I believe our country If we were to check the statistics, or even if we could kind of go back in the past, the greatest leaders in our country's time, the greatest leaps and bounds we made were during the times when we were truly a community. Mm-hmm. See, we always speak about the community from the standpoint of, boy, you know, back in the day, if you did something wrong, the neighbor could have beat you.
Mm-hmm.
That's true. But guess what? If you were hungry, the neighbor fed you.
Yes.
So it was a positive, plenty positive to that. But what we have done is that everybody has gone their own separate ways.
Yes, correct.
And it's almost like nobody jacking no more.
We get rid of the village concept.
Yes.
Right.
And that's right. Now as fearless tremendous thing. That's why we have this problem now, because those kids would never be in home. The only reason they're home now is because the COVID-19 administration put us on lockdown. Or
right.
The dictator put us on lockdown. Okay? So, but if we had that family community development, you know, the village concept, no kid would have been able to be home because the you
Scrooge.
And me
Scrooge.
Living on the community would say, hey, you got to...
Not right. Not only that. And think about it. How much us spend summers with our auntie and uncle?
Yes.
And you're trying to tell me, yes, okay, you go to the family island, yep, some parents is working. Mm-hmm. But there was never a time that my mother had an aunt or uncle who could oversee as a cousin. But now, it's like everybody just split and going their own way, and nobody checking for each other.
Godmothers were so important.
Right.
Uncles and aunties were so important. I remember, even though I was a troublesome little youth, right? And if I be disobedient, not to my grandmother, but I also like, do what she didn't tell me to do, you know?
Mm-hmm.
When she say, she going to call my uncle Barry Brennan, who was a police officer, my mentality changed because he's a man. So when he talk, that's a lion. And,
right.
You know, I can't oppress him. So he put me in my, you know?
Right.
What he could do to me, for me to send me down, she couldn't do to me to right. send me down. So that's very important.
Yeah.
Aunties and uncles and godmothers, all those was very important. In the development of Bahamians, it's 50, 60, 70 years ago, 100 years ago, it was all about the community village concept. Fish fry is a community village concept. The communities are village concept. Yeah. That's why the police, with Clayton Fernando, Lennox Allen Martin, all of them had to get together, and the police, and they had to walk because they decided, let's wait to get us a community. The
exactly.
police, the Minister of Education, and then she brings some teachers and community leaders, and they walk and they check these houses out. And what they found out, what we were saying all along, that, you know, you need face-to-face, we need to get back, the kids back to school.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, it's crazy. You guys want to make any, you want to talk about something else that's going on, fish fry, any other recommendation?
Arawaki, I want to jump on something else pertaining to Arawaki. Like you said, like Cotto said earlier, we wanted to make it more family-inducive, right? We want that start where on the weekends family want to come out and enjoy themselves. One of the things I would like to see happen, I would like to see personally, is Araki family collaborating with the Ministry of Tourism, even the government sector, on bringing in more cultural things to Araki. Arawaki is the hub right now for Bahamians. It's one of the most Bahamian-owned business in one place. And I always speak to Cotto about, let's do a Bahamian fest every end of the month. Maybe we could teach our kids how to plot the maypole, climb the greasy pole, hopscotch,
yes.
Shoot marble. I don't know the last time I've seen a kid riding a wooden scooter. That was one of the main things we did back in our day.
Yes.
Coming down Santa Hill on a wooden scooter.
Spinning top. Y'all even see talk?
No.
That's a
see talk. I see talk for 30 years, dog.
Right. So that's one of the things, the activities we want to bring to Arawaki, and I would love to see. Listen to me, hula hoop. Do you see young girls hula hoop anymore?
No.
Back in the day, I teach the girls how to wine. Do you understand? And you can do the hula hoop, they teach you.
Yeah.
These are some of the things. And and the computer is good at an extent, right?
Yeah.
But it also has an effect because it advanced the kids so much,
yes.
So fast. You understand?
So true.
And while I don't want to knock it, I have a 4-year-old son that's so computer savvy. Listen to me.
He put you to shame.
I had to ask him the other day how to find an app on my phone. You can imagine that? So, you know what I mean? We need to get back to some of the original things that brought us and make us strong men and women to lead the day.
Okay, well, I got a comment from my sister. She says, that's why we should go back to the old school way. And she said, yes, it takes a village
to raise a child.
And that's so true.
It is.
Well, I always used to hear that phrase, it takes a village to raise a child, but I never know what it meant until I had children of my own.
Yeah.
You understand? It's very hard, listen to me, for a single parent to raise a child.
Yes, they get tired.
Especially multiple kids and have the work. Trust me.
Yeah.
So you need people to step in. Like you said, godparents. You need godparents to step in, aunts, uncles. You need people to step in, grandparents. So, and the day's children, the grandparents are in the 30s.
So
So
the grandparents don't body him. So who will keep the grandchild? The mother body.
Well, we laugh, it's the truth.
Yeah.
So. We laughing, but it's the truth. In many cases.
So you see why we have to get the village concept back and have all the structures we need. We need community centers. We need the church to be involved. We have to find ways on how we can create small businesses in the community. In fact, you guys are leading by example, and yet still y'all are being denied the access, you know. But I think that being on the show, I think that expressing yourself, because, you know, y'all not fighting against the system. Y'all want to improve the system.
Right.
You understand?
Right.
Y'all giving them suggestions and solutions on how we can make this work. Because like I said, me, when I go to Fish Rye, I live like a king because I get out of the neighborhood where I hear no ambulance. I hear all that rowing. I could hear the breeze. I could smell the food. I could eat some Kong salad. I could drink some Glick Bear. I ain't got to worry about nothing. I could stay with three hours. If I feel fit, spend 4 hours. If I feel fit, I could spend $150. I might still leave home with some change if I ain't drinking too much Glick Bear. But there you go. I know when I go, I drink more than when I in the neighborhood. Right. When I go, I swear I drink with 6, 7, probably even 9. You know what I mean? But that's the whole point about it, you know, to go to have fun. So it's a relaxation spot of the Fish Fry. That's something that was made for that. And you guys are making a suggestion on how to make it better. You know, you're talking about the garbage collection, what the government can do, and what y'all could do individually to make it better, make it healthier, make it safer, make it more relaxation. For the guests that visit y'all stalls, but also the Bahamian people who comes to enjoy Fish Fry for what it really is. You know?
I'd like to send a shout out to my Bahamian people as well.
Yeah,
they did a tremendous job of keeping our doors open during the pandemic.
I mean, they did.
Yeah, they came out and support.
They
came out and support.
They was just bored, man.
They did a good job with keeping the doors open. I commend them.
Let's talk about that. Go ahead.
Definitely commend them. You know, they looked out. They looked out for their own.
Let me just say this. You had no tourists coming in, right? The government locked down the country. You have no tourists coming in. So you have to rely on your Bahamian clientele. And this has to do with your hospitality for even them to come to your stalls, right? So that's your word. Go ahead.
Yeah, so, you know what I mean? Shouts out to all the Bahamians that supported the local businesses on Arawaki. You know what I mean? You guys made it possible for us to be here today, and the rest of the stores that are still, restaurants that are still open. You guys made it possible, and it's a special thank you from Julius.
And definitely from Drifters, because, like, one of the things I think both our restaurants, and Dario will attest this, is that the majority of our clientele are locals. And, you know, coming up in the hotel, both of us together, so much emphasis, and yes, tourist business helped to build this country, but so much emphasis and importance used to be placed on how we treat the tourists.
Yes, but it's how you treat the Bahamian.
But we also got to understand our Bahamian guests are just as valuable.
I noticed that. You treat us the same way because the same weight or the same time, the same service we get.
The standard. Even to the degree where I think you take it a bit further, where you create relationships with your clientele.
Yeah.
First name basis, where they can call you and say, hey, I need this done or that done or the next thing done. See, one of the things I want to say to my Bahamian people, man, let me tell you all something. We valuable, you know. Mm. And we got to put in our mind how valuable we are. First as individuals, and then to the wider spread community.
Wow.
You understand? Because if you don't value yourself, and that's my message, and I can continue to preach that message, because I build in on that as well, too.
Yes.
You understand what I'm saying? Because far too long, you know, we have always taught or been taught that, and we because we are hospitable people.
That's right.
We are we come up being a service-based people where we learn to put others before ourselves. But there's a difference between service and servitude, you know.
Yes.
You understand? And the key is that we got to understand service is something you could be proud of.
Wow.
Servitude is slavery.
Wow.
We ain't trying to go back there.
That's right.
But we got to value ourselves,
man. I think
Minister's
trying to cast back.
I ain't going to talk about it with the Prime Minister.
I ain't talking about it.
The former Prime Minister.
The former Prime Minister.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I think it. If we learn to do that, if we learn to take care, and it could start in small ways, looking at your health, looking at in terms of you're improving yourself daily. You understand? Read something. You ain't got to be no big book. Pick up. It could be a little small, little anything that could be inspiring to you. You know, our Bahamian music. I tell you, one of my favorite, as not one of, my favorite Bahamian song is Persevere.
Wow.
from when I was a young fella, when Phil Stubbs first came up with that song.
Well, you can sing, boy. That song
right there, that changed my life. People like Dario always speaks about Miles Monroe. You know, we have a lot of greatness in us, but we have to learn to value ourselves.
And evolve. Yes,
exactly.
I want to say a shout out to my friend Nate the Great. He's in Dubai. He did a wonderful job at the expo in
Dubai.
They
leave him there?
Yeah, he's still there. Nate's still there.
Pick up yourself, Nate.
Yes, Nate's there. He says 4:30 a.m. now when he's watching. Wow, in Dubai. It's crazy.
Thank you, Nate. Different. You know, I want to say something, not to, like I say, take over, but I can say something to you.
Go ahead.
Valentino, I can say something to you, Dario. Let me show y'all something. As a young man who is your contemporary, I'm proud of y'all, boy. You want me to tell you why? Because the odds were stacked against y'all because of some decisions y'all made when really y'all wasn't in a good place to make true decisions. Y'all wasn't aware, but you fought through it. And I know, just like all of us, because I grew up in the inner city as well too, but I had a little different approach to things. And, you know, it didn't make me any less or any more than you all. But what I recognize is that I lost a lot of friends. I know y'all lost a lot of friends as well, too, in terms of violently and in bad ways. But I want y'all to understand something. And I'm saying this to y'all, too, today. Continue, like Valentino, you say sometimes you be ashamed to speak your story. No, boy. Don't never be ashamed to speak your story. Because you never know what little one. You could touch somebody. Somebody, boy. And that could be the person who could change this world, boy.
Yeah, you're right.
You never know.
You're right.
He's correct.
And like you said, I always bring it up because every time I look at the crime problem, then I say, I know this young guy. He played in the tournament, or I know his daddy. So this bothered me. And when I look at Michael, what I say, I know someone. You know, it's just like just about every situation, not every situation, but you just know somebody and you know something could have been done if he done things.
Yeah.
You know? It's crazy, Odell.
Well, you know, I have one thing to say. I took on responsibility now. Any conversation I engage in, if it's not speaking positive, I don't want to hear it.
Right.
You understand? Because there's a lot of people out there, especially like I always tell one of my friends, gossiping is a serious thing.
I just said gossiping is number one sin. People don't know this. You know what's number one sin? Not cutting you off. Gossip is number one sin. Not suicide or blaspheming. Gossip.
Gossip creates a lot of chaos.
It's number one sin.
A lot of chaos. And when you sit down in a conversation and you see the conversation isn't making any sense, you're the wrong place.
Yeah.
If you have, in order to address me right now, you have to be making some type of sense. You understand? And I refuse to listen to negativity.
Why? Tell me why. Because you was living a life where we used to be plotting on people's life, plotting who we can mess up. So we used to be plotting, so we know about it. And all else just in the negativity. And while you know that bring us? That bring us pain, suffering, lockup.
Negative energy, that's what you're bringing.
And you're right.
And I have spoken to people in society who said to me that, Scrubby, you know something? You are some of the guys that society need to look up to, because you been to the bottom. You did what you did. You made corrections. You paid your debt, and you turn around and you're on a positive way.
Yeah.
You understand? You're now a business person. You're opening up several businesses. You haven't been in any problems over the last decade or so. These are the guys that the government right now, the police force, national security need to look out and say, hey, don't just, they have a lot of studio gangsters out there who claims they did these things.
Yeah.
School TV did these things.
Studios?
You understand?
Yeah.
We did these things. So when you see a guy who you know being through the trenches and back and made positive changes in his life to move forward, these are the guys you need to find out, how could I reach these people right now and convince them to turn some of these kids, or just even to speak out to some of them. They have a lot of programs right now. Just Saturday, me and Carter was at the Boys and Dust Simpson Pen.
Look at school. Listen.
Just Saturday, we sat down at the Boys Industrial School. I think it was some Simpson Pen.
Yeah,
and the dean for the school said to me, he said, you know something, we had a lot of guest speakers up here, you know.
But none like you.
But these little children actually gravitate to what you all bring.
They can tell you all real.
You understand? Because but they sit down and I could tell them, listen to me, the same birthday, fam. I could call your cousin, your uncle, your nephew, and say, me and this one do this together, me and that one do this together. So they attention automatically gravitated to what we were saying. And they understood. And I tell them, I said, being real, hey, you know something? There's about 30 of y'all in here. Some will be saving, some won't. Realistically.
You know that.
Some would be saving, some won't.
You know.
But you need to try be in the and one in the percentage that will like be saved. You understand? And it's things that what I could say and relate, you could say and relate, Ricardo could say and relate, will touch one person in that room out of 30.
Yeah.
I guarantee. One of the guys came out of the boys' industrial school. I started up in front of my... Right in front of the yard. I see the car pull up. They say, hey, Mr. Williams. I say, hey, what's up? He say, you remember me? I say... Is it my honest to be from Boys Industrial? Remember when you was talking that?
Right.
You know what I mean? I say, I say, you be here with the service? Yes, sir. Listen to me. He was charged with murder. Young fella. And he was so manly to me. And Cardo standing up there. Yes, sir. No, sir. Yes, sir. You know what I mean? But he understand what I said to him. You understand? And these are the things most guys going into it trying to make a quick buck.
Yes.
You understand? I going into this for my heart. Because I have a lot of young... I have sons. I have 5 sons. You understand?
So you know.
And the youngest is at 4.
So you know
what they have to go through in this life right now?
The challenges
they have to go through?
The situation is out there. We're having 100 murders a year. We're having armed robberies. We're having people in road rage. We have people going crazy. We have guys who are sexually active, who molest kids. So you're actually living in hell right now. All right? We are actually living in hell right now, and we have to make the Bahamas a place of light. We are actually living in hell right now. You see all these murders all around. Innocent people. Look at the last set of murders. Innocent people. You know, the guy who got killed in the Grandstand area. Right? You didn't much talk about it. You hear what happened? He got put out from his grandmother. Right? And look, he had no place to sleep, so he's sleeping in the car with his girlfriend.
Mm-hmm.
Someone come to ask him to give him a piece of grub up because, you know, you must be smoking a little marijuana joint. Right? So he put on the side of the road. Let me show you. That's why when you see areas hot, I tell y'all guys, when y'all see areas hot and shooting, stay away from it. It look like seems like y'all young people, like y'all stupid. Look like something wrong with y'all. Y'all see someone get shoot to the club. Why y'all going back to the club again, huh? Y'all stupid, eh? Boy, listen, when someone get shooting out there, we ain't scared enough, but we know nigga coming back for us. So we ain't hanging there to give him no chance to get us. You better come catch me in the back of the yard. If you want me, you better come for me in the back of the yard. Stop going to spots where incidents happen, where people get shoot. Okay? You need, and also, if he's a hard boy, I want to say this. If he's a hard boy, you're there shooting your gun, okay? Stop going around your mother. Stop going around your auntie. Stop going around your cousin them, all right? Guys looking for you. Guys will take you. It's bad luck. Wherever you go, guys coming looking for you. So you cause innocent people lives get killed. Let me give you a prime example. Let me finish with the young man. That young man right there was in his car. Someone who was acquainted to some other guys who were doing some kind of shooting in the country, right? Come looking for him. Spot him. He was standing up close to the guy in the car. The guy going to pass him a piece of grubber. Poison pass looking. Fire a couple shots in the direction. Sitting in the car. Minding his own business with his girlfriend. Get you killed dead and innocent. Wow. A woman walking from on Wolf Road. The young guy, the 16-year-old who was shooting at the next individual. He shoot the guy. The guy continued running. The guy... Blood boiling red, a young guy, blood boiling red. So he ain't thinking, he just run after the guy shooting the gun crazy. Woman going to get her mask or the car or whatever, someone in the car going to church, just was in church, come outside. The guy run past, the guy come shooting the gun, blam, 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 kill an innocent woman. All right? Y'all people killing a lot of innocent people. Stop going around the clubs and bars. Stop hanging around your mother house. And let me tell you something, hear me, people? Even if your own children doing foolish out there, you better stop them from coming around your house. Because right now, chaos is in our country. A lot of people have demons inside them. You know, they have anger management skills. They grow up in a drug infested or unstable home with no family structure whatsoever. The only thing they know is violence because they've been witnesses in their community. They've been witnesses in their homes. And this is all they know. So you and yourself got to, you know, talk. When you see someone who doing foolish, doing anyone who have any serious crime, don't let them come stand up to you. You know,
listen, build up your nerve. Even though you might be little party.
Exactly.
Yeah, don't take a ride from them. If you see them standing up wherever they is, you just say hi and try to get into the vicinity because, listen, people is cautious. All right?
That's correct.
Because, karma, like I said, I got shot at it over 20-something, the 23 times from different guys from all around who were bad boys just like me. And that teach me a karma. So if I think of I was the bad guy, I thought when you're bad that, you know, everyone's supposed to be scared of you. Yeah. No, they don't work like that. You won't shoot. Gun? Eh? It's a comment. Got someone come from shooting back. So this goes, what goes around comes around. And then tell you, figure it out and understand that you ain't gonna run this road. One day it could be you. You could go there and do all you want for as long as you want. But one day, someone will catch you. And that's the bottom line. So don't be going to fish fry, disturbing these young gentlemen, them businesses, establishment, if you know you want to be a bad boy. If you're a bad boy, you're a target. If you go to fish fry, you go on Hay Street, you go in the mall. Guys here in the mall, your enemy, they come and looking for you. So parents, if you have a child who involved, talk to them the best way you can to persuade them to try and leave their life alone. If they can't, put them out your house. Because if you don't, you'll cause your next son or your daughter or your sister get hurt. Last but not least, you guys finish the show right now. Last shooting we had with that young lady, you heard that the young gentleman shot at a sister 1 year prior. Okay? And you see what he come back and do? He come back and kill her. All right? You understand? He shoot at her sister. And her sister stopped talking to her for over a year. And you see what he come back and do? He come back and he kill her. You know? So, hard boys, people, when someone gets shoot, if you know there's a hot spot, stay away from it. Guys don't want to clean the fish fry. They give a good examples on how the government and the authorities can work with them to clean a fish fry. Talk about guys coming out and sitting in the back of the trunk. Not to harass them, but to put some safety measures in place for the precautions of the tourists and the Bahamian people who come out to have a wonderful time. See, a lot of people don't come out to go have a fun. People come out to cause confusion. Like they like it, man. They come out there to look for guys. You think we get thousands of women on fish fry. Where your head, you could be in the conch salad. I can look right, left, and see all kinds of different panty lines, excuse my language, different size and shapes. Nicest dress, I can look right and left. You guys want to go out there and look for man. Y'all don't go out there and fight and shoot man. Y'all can't be serious, trouble. And then we'll go to fish fry or go to places. They killing all like, you can't go nowhere no more because everywhere you go,
One time ago, it was Gombe. They used to be fighting on Gombe. Kill Gombe. Junkano, they fighting all about the Junkano. Everywhere you go for entertainment, there's a bunch of fights. You understand? It's so reach the time now where you see, when you go in the restaurants or you go in the clubs, they telling you got to be 25 or older.
They should.
Aye. So this world getting serious.
Yeah.
And if we don't get serious with the world, we could be in plenty of problems. You know?
You gotta do good things, man.
Yeah, man, you guys, them, man, y'all gonna go to the club. Y'all gonna come there. Instead, y'all gonna try to talk to a nice young lady or some new guys looking at other guys with a guy in Miami over there. Now, that's the only spot where you're chilling. This is so stupid we ask the people. You have your own club in your own area, and you was a hard boy. You go into the only club in your area to go and cause confusion in your own club. Then when you get no place to go, you know what happened? You go to Michael Road, and that's be the end. That'd be the last spot you go because now you're in your jurisdiction. But instead, you protect your neighborhood, protect your bar. You won't go there and be the bad boy in your own neighborhood shoot up the club and then expect to go back to the club. And then when you look, you go someplace else because the bar closed down, all the entertainment closed down, fish fry closed down, the show closed down. You can't even go watch Samuel L. Jackson in the show because the guys are going to go shoot up. It's crazy. We can take this one call and then we can let y'all get back. Go ahead.
Nadia.
Go ahead. Wait, this Nate?
Hey, I apologize.
Hey, Nate, Dubai. Look, y'all. You get a job.
I can't believe they are. He plugged me in just like that in the middle of your conversation. My bad. My apologies. And good night over there.
Yeah, this is your friend, Nate. You been in charge of the church?
I just hailing my apologies. I didn't know Ali was going to plug me in automatically.
Alright.
But Scrubber, what's up, man? How you doing?
Bless up. Everything good, my brother.
Continue to strive, continue to put God first. You know, he's the head of everything and this he should get all the glory for that. But you know where we at in the Bahamas right now, and you know, especially when you're ready, already being the change for society, just continue to press forward and continue to work with our inner city youths, and especially our mothers right now. They really having a hard time. I think that's where it starts from the household. The gentleman, the guest from Drifters, he went to Transfiguration Baptist Church, right?
Yeah.
I visited there once or twice with my grandmother, but I didn't go there.
Yeah, Grandma used to go there.
No, we was Zion Baptist East in Shirley, but she went there several times. And I know that my family went there a few times, but I think I was there twice.
Yeah, okay, cool. Yeah, man, hats off to your guest, Scrooge. The only thing is, when our people already make it in society, the reflection is that people tend to hold on to our past, but continue to grow into the future, not dictating your past into your present day, and don't cripple your future. So you guys on the right path. I just wanted to say what's up. Continue your show, Scrooge. Yeah, Scrooge, we can talk later.
All right, man.
Thank you.
Nate, you did a wonderful job in Dubai. I saw you carrying the Sheikh, carrying the Sheikh around and sharing over the him touching the sky, used to gin and coconut water and stuff, man. You did a real job at the expo, and I was proud of Daisy. What TM did a wonderful job over there representing the country. Gino D did a wonderful job performing, man. It was just awesome. Bahamas to the world. That was crazy. You want to chip in on anything else you want to chip in concerning fish fry or anything?
But the only thing I have to add in besides that is me and Ricardo right now forming an organization. We're doing it off our own support, right? We're supporting ourselves. We started to go around, introduce ourselves to homes, speaking to youths. And we call it, me and the group are calling it Fame for Change.
Fame for Change, I like
Fame
that.
Fame for Change, you understand? So
that's good.
We're moving
good.
Around now, we're going to institutes, Boys Industrial, around Flea Home.
For children.
I mean, we're going even to the old folks on the geriatric homes, yes. We're going to. And we just want to introduce ourselves because we know that one day even in a geriatric home, one day we'll be that age. You know what I mean? And definitely you want to leave things in place or you want to become. You want to become, like I always tell Cato, we have a finer way to leave our title, the Williams title, like how the Butlers and the Simonettes and the Kellys have left their title for generations. Well, there's something we need to do with the Williams right now. Leave this title for generations
to come. Wow, crazy.
You understand? So we're getting ready to put things in motion where we could visit and, do our part, whatever it is. Even if we just carry socks or toothpaste, T-shirts, whatever it is.
It would manifest.
Yeah, definitely.
You're heading in the right direction. You guys really, y'all hot.
Yeah, man.
Let me ask y'all a question. What's happening in the country? Even though you don't know, you might not know the poisonly, and even though you might know a few poisonly, what's going on in the country is really affecting you guys. Hey, don't lie.
Yeah, man.
Without a doubt.
You know, some of these things can't be avoided.
Yeah.
Hey, deep down inside it. That's why I committed myself to using the platform, committed myself even before I was on the show.
And I respect that, man.
To make a change.
I see it, bro.
Yeah, and have guys like yourself to talk about the life experiences, And you guys are also entrepreneur, business owners who, taking that mountain out of Oxley, going to schools and going to Ron Flea Home, and talk to those kids who are growing up. And one day, if you don't watch it, like he said, if you have like a classroom of kids, 30-something, just like us when we was in school, and he said, there are a few in there who is not going to make it. And that's exactly true for those who take in the knowledge. So you have to do even more, as to say, let's get those numbers even.
Right.
Greater, yeah.
And that's why you guys are doing what you're doing.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Before we go, I'm really disappointed that you didn't get your opportunity to get your business license for your shotgun, because it's very important now, because listen, we are living in hell right now. Okay, the police, who are on the Royal Bahamas Police Force, they're told they are 15, they're told 40, on their one, they get a 40-year scrap on their knee. They have an AR-15, or they're told they have two clips each for those guns. You know the reason why? Because we get some serious crimes going on over there, and they have to protect themselves. The business owners, who getting off late, coming from work, going to go to their cars and etc. Remember, even though we're changing the country, we have some guys who are into armed robbing, and they're very dangerous.
So masterminds.
So and masterminds, you know, they plot out their criminal activities, and so you have to be very careful, you know. And anything else you want to say?
Yeah, no, I mean, you know, we just gotta understand, each and every one of us gotta understand that, you know, we don't have to wait to start doing things to make our world a better place, man. You understand what I'm saying? And for me, for Dario, you know, we definitely committed to giving back. And like it, and I want people to understand, giving back don't also always have to be about money.
No.
It could be your time. It could be a kind word. You understand? You'll be surprised what a kind word could do to someone who just always had negative.
Yeah.
You know? And so, like, that's the commitment I put within myself in terms of seeking knowledge in which I could kind of improve myself and then also in turn improve others, you know? And that is what we hope to accomplish because at the end of the day, when we have gone, when we've left this earth, we want it to be said that we left it better than we met it.
What you mean, going from this earth?
No, I talk about at least 150 years from now.
Yeah, I know, but some people don't believe you're going to afterlife. You know, people don't believe you're going to die. Some people believe that there's no afterlife, that there's no judgment, that, you know, but you guys are saying, let me do something positive. So
I talk about what I know.
You know?
So, I know what's going on when I go.
All right.
But I know one day we got to go.
You got, all right.
We ain't going to be here one day.
Okay.
But whilst we are here, like, let's focus on ensuring that we make it
a better place.
And we can.
Yes. Let me ask you a question. How much employee do you employ?
Right now I have about 14.
14. 14 employees. And how much?
Yeah, about the same. About the same.
So, two of you guys right there. Let me see if I can still count 14 and 14. Anyone joking? Yeah. I know it's less than 30, 28, right?
Right.
So, they have 28 employees working from Monday to Friday.
Monday to Monday.
National Insurance. Monday to Friday. Different people working different shifts.
Right.
Business who contributing while at out of tax. They should never be discriminated against in the country. In fact, we're supposed to be helping boost them so that they just become more than just a small business. You know, they need to take it where they take it to the next level where we could help them, you know, advertise, get guests be coming on a regular basis. And these guys, in a five-year period, they could probably, or two-year, three-year, can make $1 million for themselves or even more. I saw Byron. I had him in a show. Who wants Tiki Yacht? I want to give a special shout out to Byron Tiki Yacht. Before the COVID pandemic,
right.
You know, I sit down there because I like small business. I like what you guys are doing. And I know Byron, when Byron just started selling coconut water right there in the park on Long Wharf, Junkanoo Beach.
Mm-hmm.
And when I asked Byron, you know, what he is making a year, when I heard that Byron out there by Tiki Yacht, you know, I ain't talking this business, but he said it, he make $1.2 million per year. That's crazy.
Yeah.
And he just started off selling coconut water right there. And I remember him going on Long Wharf as a little boy. And then he was nothing. Wow. So that's this inspiration. Just like how Scrubber got his restaurant, Joey's. And you get here, Drifters. Carl get Drifters. You know, this is the kind of stuff we need because we put money in the economy. We put money in people's pocket to care home to their family, to feed their children and make their lives better. And this is what you call revenue. And this is what the government trying to do now. It's to encourage to bring revenue back to the country. And before we go, I told a caller a few weeks ago about foreign investors. The government isn't allowing a lot of foreign investors to come and invest in many projects in the country. So that's a plus for us. That's what I'm talking about, you know. That's a plus.
Well, but you saying that I'm getting ready to invest in foreign now.
You're getting ready to invest in
foreign? Joey's right now is looking for accessibility to open up a restaurant in Canada.
You gotta be joking.
So definitely, between now and May, we'll be international. There'll be a Joey's in Toronto.
What?
Canada, between now and May.
Man, that's awesome, man. Today talking about. So now when you license your firearm, man. Come on, man. You know, come on, that's awesome. Hey, you can't like Miss Elaine pin the bamboo shop.
Right.
You know, she started off with one small business on Nassau Street.
Remember
that, eh? Now she's a multi-millionaire. So it's just to show you that you just got to put something in it. Stop watching people. Stop
being around negative people. You know, you can make the change. You could be the change also, you know. You know, you think if Scrubber didn't go out there and try to say, you know, come up with a comprehensive plan to secure his future by coming up with an idea as to open a restaurant, and he pick a strategic spot, that's planning. Right. The same thing with Cardo. The same thing with me. I'm building my restaurant through Lewis Creek because I know that this could bring me revenue and this is secure my future so that when I get old and I can't move, I ain't got no old folks home. I get national. I get money in the bank, so the noise coming to my house.
Right.
You know, I want to be like the Simmons. I want to be like Frankie Wilson. I want to be like Vincent Lennon passed away. You know, you had all the nurses and doctors coming to visit him and stuff like that. Yeah, that's what I want. I want that no old folks home, man. You know.
No.
Right. Okay, we only get about let me see. We get 4 more minutes.
Good.
Anything else we can discuss with this last 4 minutes?
And, you know, like you said, like I say to you, what I would love to see, like, and I can put this to you, I was gonna say, I was gonna wait till we come off air.
Okay.
But Valentino, I want you to get a panel together.
Mm-hmm.
Not panel from the highfalutin
society.
The quote unquote important people in our society.
Okay.
But persons such as yourself, persons such as Dario, and really sit up there on a stage. I envision it right now. Like a nice, and have a nice chat about your journey, one.
Okay.
What's going on presently, and what you see to the future, and how you could change it. Because there was a question I wanted to ask on both of you.
Go ahead, go ahead.
And I mean,
watch
you know,
your time, your
which,
time.
Right, okay, which was, what allowed you all to, like, did someone say something to you? What created the change in y'all?
That. And then all the constant lockup, I'm going to let you go right now, all the constant lockup wasn't achieved. We were selling drugs, selling firearms when we had it. We wasn't making no sense. Like, you had no future. It was always getting shot at, always getting locked up, always negativity, also to run for your life, or you're always trying to run to kill somebody. You're always involved with something negative, and after a while, you got tired of it. You know, you got tired of it. And then you see that many times, and you saw that you could end up in jail a long time. And then when you see other people prospering, I'm seeing you, this guy walk with his wife and his girlfriend, they have children, have a nice car, have a nice income, but it seems to me I was cursed. So looking at all that, that changed me. Go ahead.
Well, Carlo, my turning point in my life was after doing a sentence in prison. I couldn't, honestly, sitting in a 6x10 cell with 6 guys.
Six guys
in a 6x10 using a bucket for the toilet and a jug for a pee potty.
What? No, man.
I realized that, hey, I too good for this. I can't do another 10, 15, 20 years like this in my life. And one of the most hurtful things for me was watching my mom at a senior age struggle to come up to the prison to bring things for me.
Make you cry.
Towing that line at the front of the prison and catch a weight on that bus to come down in the back. I said, I couldn't put my mom through that. I couldn't put my parents through that. Neither, none of my family members. Even down to my kids. One of my kids came to see me when I was still. And I was so ashamed. I was like, hey, I can't let this happen again. And from my release from prison, if I have pick up a traffic ticket, I pick up a lot. You understand? And
you
that was my change in point. And I came out and I told mom, I said, mom, you know something? The first half of my life, I did a bunch of nonsense. But this half, I can make it good for you. I promise you that. Okay. And I'm on that road to making it good, making it great.
Okay. And you believe this. I don't like negativity. If anyone's saying anything negative to anyone in the community, I am out there. Hey? I don't like violence. Hey? I don't like problems. You see how the stuff go? Now, I love this stuff. But my whole body and mind and spirit change. I don't like those stuff. I don't like gossip. I don't like places crowded. I hate to see people rowing in the road and et cetera. I just want to see people live a happy life where I see a husband and wife, a boyfriend and girlfriend walking in the road, have children, and they have a family. And then we could mix and mingle where we have safe zones like the park and et cetera. I just want to, you know, that's how
so
I...
So pretty much you're saying you're done tried one way.
Yeah.
That way ain't the way to go.
That way ain't no way.
You done tried.
We is veterans. We is veterans in the game. We start the gangster industry in the country. We were the first wave, all right? Mm-hmm. What comes after that came from what we started.
Right.
And we're telling you, anyone out there,
It ain't the way to go. No Try sense. To make yourself a businessman, because you could bring that to your family and to your loved ones, okay? Because, you know, people target you. And then it's a curse. And honestly speaking, it's a be a curse upon you when you hurt others. Because a curse was upon me. Everywhere I go, and someone shoot at me. Everywhere I go, I get problems. I can hide anywhere now, so guess what? Problems, wherever I go.
They'll find you.
Yeah, but just find you. I just want you to know that. Correct. A curse is be upon you.
So I put that to you and Dario Valentino, so y'all can put that panel together.
Yeah, definitely we can put the panel together.
Because we're in close contact. I think that's important.
Yeah, and he was my enemy, you know. Yeah, we were going to the same school, and we were enemies. You know, him, Anton Rule, who's now deceased. You know, I remember Anton, that was my good friend. You know, all the Kelsey Lenny, Case Roach. You had Barkley, who's deceased. You had Crazy Horse, you know, who's deceased. You had William Farrington, Bow, who's deceased. And next, you had all these guys who were my enemies. Rocket Jude Pair was one of my worst enemies. Yeah. He passed me, he got killed. So, you know, I can remember all of them by name. We, and guess what? We were enemies. We tried to kill one another. In some instances, our friends ended up crossfire and getting killed in the corners of Raiders and Border Boys. But at the end of the day, we became good friends and understand that is a bunch of foolishness. That was an illusion by the devil. And for anyone out there, listen, brothers. Go to school. Get your education. Listen to people positive, like we're talking to you now on the airwaves. Listen to what we have to say. Listen to what the Caro got to say. Listen to what your parents got to say. Because if you don't, you're going to pay a serious price. So I want to say thanks, you, for listening to Inside the Inner City on Garden Radio. I'm your host, Valentino Cron. I'd like to thank my special guest, Scrubber, who was the owner, okay, of Jovi, is situated on Fish Fry. And then we have Caro, who owns Drifters on Fish Fry. So please support. And like they said, these are good guys. These are business-minded people. And I hope the government of Obama is listening to these guys and the police work with these guys to make Fish Fry a safer place, a healthier place, and most importantly, a place where we can actually grow and say, hey, this is something great, and this is beneficial to the Bahamian people. So without further ado, we'll see you next week on Inside the Inner City. Enjoy.
People I from Nassau, Bahamas, big up in town, bro. Boy, I from Dayton, bro. Don't take no back talk, no bribe or no joke. If you find fire, you're definitely find smoke. Dayton, bro. Boy, I from Dayton, bro. Dayton, I say up and run.